Stumbling Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, 1025-1063. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. Caroline is out today. Ian is here today. Hello, Ian.
What up? What up?
Bad loss by the Titans yesterday. It is a Titans Monday, and we will be to you all day. 615-737-1025. I make no promises on how many texts I'm going to be able to read today, but we will get to your phone calls today, as we always do on a Titans Monday. And the Titans fall 20-16 to the Bengals yesterday. And let me say this. I was furious when I left Nissan Stadium yesterday after that loss to Cincinnati. And I was so disappointed. I was disappointed in the entire team. And I was disappointed in the coaching staff. And I was disappointed in the offense. And I was disappointed in the defense. And I don't know how you can't be perpetually disappointed in the Titans special teams when they just don't ruin the game. Everybody wants to tell me that's a good game from the special teams. But the truth is, the Titans were awful yesterday. They were awful across the board. I left that stadium dejected. I was so disappointed in this football team. This football team that I've been saying for the last 4 or 5 weeks, they're a contender, they're legit, I believe, they've got a good defense. I've been saying it on Sirius XM across the country. Hey, believe in the Titans. Colin Cowherd's ranking them in the top 10. And all of a sudden, they go out there against the Bengals with extra rest, mind you, and play the way they played yesterday. That was a disgraceful performance from the Tennessee Titans. And I was so upset that as soon as I got home, I flipped on the game. As soon as I got home, I got out my pens, got to work watching the game, breaking it down, because I wanted to know exactly what it was. And then after I watched the game, I listened to the press conferences. So I went to the game, I watched the game, I listened to the press conferences, and I felt better after the press conferences when I heard Mike Vrabel say this to sum up what happened yesterday.
All four phases. Didn't do a good enough job today being coaching and special teams, offense and defense.
Okay. He's right. They were terrible across the board yesterday. Terrible on offense, especially in the red zone. Terrible on defense, and really inexplicable with how bad it was on defense. No pressure on the quarterback. They couldn't stop the run. They got pushed around by Cincinnati's offensive line. They didn't get any big plays out of the defense. No forced fumbles, no interceptions, no tip passes in the air that led to an interception. They didn't do anything. Bad tackling? This group? This defense? The way that they've been, bad tackling with extra rest after Green Bay? And then special teams. I mean, they can't return a kick. They can't return a punt. They didn't punt the ball very well. They missed a 35-yard kick before halftime, which was atrocious. The end of the game, we all know what happened there. I mean, even I know, and I'm not a special teams guru, even I know you can't hit the snapper. I know it. Everybody knows it. It's basic. And not only that, they almost had two guys that hit the snapper. But the biggest takeaway that I have, the biggest question that comes from yesterday's game for me is more so, why did they play so poorly? That's the question that I need an answer to, and I don't necessarily have it. And if the Titans had the answer to this question, they would never tell you. Why did they play so poorly yesterday? Did they play so poorly because they just had a bad game? Which is not an excuse in my book, but we've seen it. Not everybody's going to be perfect all the time. The 99 Titans went to the Super Bowl. They lost 41-14 to the Ravens on the road, a Ravens team that wasn't really all that good. It happens. Did they have a bad day? Was it because they had gotten too into the rat poison after their performance against Green Bay? Or was it the fact that Cincinnati made them play poorly? And that's the real question here, is why did the Titans play the game that they played yesterday? Did they play it because they're really not that good, and a good team like Cincinnati showed us, hey, you're not ready for the big boys? There are two separate 0-3 records that I don't think are an accident. You lose one game, quarterback throws three, intercept, fine. It's the quarterback's fault. He was bad that game. You lose a game in 2020 against those horrible Bengals, and Tannehill throws a goal line pick, and the refs make a bad call on a Jayon Brown interception. Fine. You lose three in a row. That's not an accident. You lose three to Buffalo, Kansas City, and Cincinnati, like the Titans have this year. Two on the road, one at home, one with a backup quarterback, one early in the season. What? That's not an accident, guys. Was it because Cincinnati made them play poorly that they were so bad yesterday? And that would be worse to me than just, hey, Titans were feeling themselves after Green Bay. They had a massive distraction amongst the coaching staff with the offensive coordinator not being able to pull up and dial up a free lift on his way home. And, you know, it was a bad week, and they ran into a bad Bengals team, and they had a bad game plan, and they didn't adjust properly, and they made some bad play calls, and a couple of 50-50 balls didn't go their way. And ultimately, because they were playing Joe Burrow and not Carson Wentz, they lose the game. I can live with that. That makes me feel much better because it makes me think, okay, you know, next week when they play Philadelphia, another Super Bowl contender, they'll get that figured out. They'll be able to tackle next week against Philadelphia. But there is a part of me that is very concerned that the reason why the Titans lost yesterday is because Cincinnati made them play that poorly. It's easy to look great when you play a team that's no good. It's easy to look great against the Colts and the Raiders and the Commanders and the crummy-ass Broncos. It's easy. Green Bay stinks. It's easy to look good against those teams. And not only that, it's not like the Titans were blowing any of those teams out. Of all the AFC contenders, the Titans' strength of victory is by far the lowest. We talked about it on this show Friday. They haven't beaten anybody. And so in comes Cincinnati, a team that has a brutal back end of the schedule. I mean, we're talking about Kansas City's on their schedule. Buffalo's still on their schedule. The Ravens are still on their schedule. I mean, it is a murderer's row on that Cincinnati schedule. And they know it. They knew they couldn't come in here and lose. And they've got a quarterback that every time I watch this man play, I have such an appreciation for him. I think he is so good. I mean, I see him and I see John Elway when I watch Joe Burrow play. He might end up being better than Elway. That's how much I think of Joe Burrow. And so they come in here, and they've got it. And we talked about it on the pregame show yesterday. They've got a good defensive line that nobody was talking about. And that's where I was amazed after the Packer game, was the Titans went out there with an entire backup offensive line. And they ran the ball well, and they protected for the quarterback. And I kept asking people, I'm like, what about this backup offensive line? What do we make of it? My God. And then we saw the backup offensive line against a really good defensive line yesterday, and they were in trouble. And so Tannehill played great. Not going to take anything away from him. I thought his clock management, he and Vrabel, at the end of the first half, I thought was pretty horrendous. But outside of that, I thought Tannehill played great yesterday. So I'm not laying the blame on Tannehill. I thought the coaching staff did a very poor job adjusting. I thought the defense did a terrible job tackling. They didn't get any game-changing plays. They had very little pressure on the quarterback. They allowed too many scrambles from the quarterback. He scrambles once or twice, fine. You're going to let him do it five times? Unbelievable. They gave up too many yards rushing on first down, which set Cincinnati up for success. They allowed too many big plays. Now, some of those are just a great quarterback and a good receiver against corners that are undersized. And if you don't get any pressure on a great quarterback like Joe Burrow, and he's great, if you don't get any pressure on him, he will pick you apart. So some of that might just be the Bengals. And I thought they were pushed around physically. And again, bad tackling, especially Amani Hooker. You know, normally we don't single guys out unless it's for good things. Who are we kidding? This show, we single them out. Amani Hooker's tackling yesterday was pathetic. David Long had some bad tackles. What's wrong with David Long? He's a great tackler. Special teams missed a 35-yard field goal, personal foul at the end of the game, bad kickoff return. They had no business taking out of the end zone. They had a bad day punting for Stonehouse. Disappointed with that as well. offense. They got no push from their backup offensive line. They subbing in obvious personnel groupings. They were horrendous in the red zone. And I thought coaching. I thought coaching, as Vrabel said, I thought coaching was pretty bad yesterday. Whether it was the actual strategy of the game, like the decision to challenge, which was clearly a catch, and I think Vrabel got caught up by Cincinnati rushing to the line, whether it was Vrabel kicking the field goal instead of going for it at the end of the game down by 7, which I thought was ludicrous. I thought it was nuts, Vrabel's decision to do that. Or whether it was the actual game planning itself, where I didn't feel like the Titans adjusted on offense or defense. I mean, how many times are you going to let Joe Burrow break the pocket before you make a change? And so I was really, really disappointed yesterday by the Titans. But again, that's yesterday. That's crying over spilt milk. The real question is why? You know, in 2020, they played a game in December. And I know we're technically not in December. But in 2020, they played a team that, just like this team, ended up winning the division. And a lot of people didn't believe in them. And everybody around here said, no, this team, they're great. This team's awesome. This is going to be fun. And in 2020, they played a game against the Cleveland Browns at home. And Baker Mayfield tore them up. And a couple weeks later, they went on the road to Green Bay on Sunday Night Football and got housed. And I said, they're pretenders, not contenders. And everybody got mad at me. You're going to let one game change your opinion? And it was, I just knew. If the other team has a decent quarterback, they're going to shred this 2020 Titans defense. And they were one and done in the playoffs. I'm not saying that yesterday was a game that made me say, okay, the Titans are pretenders and not contenders. I'm not going back on that. But I do wonder, the Titans, who have played so good, especially on the defensive side of the ball, against Denver and against Indy and against Carson Wentz and against 8-loss Green Bay. Did they play poorly yesterday because they weren't ready for the game? Did they play poorly yesterday because they didn't respect Cincinnati enough? They didn't respect Joe Burrow enough? Did they play poorly yesterday because of the distraction that was caused inside of the building with the offensive coordinator getting a DUI? Or did they not play well yesterday because Cincinnati's a good team? And finally, they got matched up against somebody who's got some oomph to them, and Joe Burrow put the ball where he wanted to in the end. And that the dumb mistakes finally caught up to the Titans, because maybe Indianapolis doesn't make you pay for your mistakes like Joe Burrow does. And I don't know the answer to that. And that's the question that I think decides where the Titans are as far as contending and where the anger or disappointment in yesterday's game should lie. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We will get to your phones today on a Titans Monday. 615-737-1025. And again, the question, I think we can all agree. Vrabel said it yesterday. They were terrible. Were they terrible because they just played terribly? Were they terrible because the Bengals made them play terribly? And I'd much rather have them just have a bad day or them play terribly because of their own unforced errors than they played terribly because this is what life is like against Joe Burrow. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, the coaching. The coordinators, the head coach. I mean, my goodness gracious, this was one of the most poorly coached games the Titans have had in a while. We'll get to that coming up next. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. They are the best. No poorly coached games from Jimmy Hiller and those guys. They are fantastic. I love Hiller, and they've been taking great care of my home for years, and they can do the exact same for you. Hiller is giving away cash for the holidays, and they are celebrating from now until the end of the year with special deals. Hiller wants to make sure every child experiences the joy of Christmas this year, so they're donating $50 in Toys for Tots with every tankless water heater purchase. And they're giving away a $250 Visa gift card with each unit. Get a $500 Visa gift card when you buy select new HVAC systems, or get a $500 Visa gift card with the purchase of any new whole home generator. They have more details online at happyhiller.com. As always, Happy You'll Be Here, the service is free, and these deals are only available until the end of the year, so schedule today. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Nashville Predators, the Tennessee Volunteers, and the Vanderbilt Commodores. Hiller, call the Happy Face truck today.
A 31-yard attempt. Trying to put Cincinnati up by 7. He connects. Flag down. Flag came flying just as the ball was making its way through the uprights. Tennessee is out of timeouts.
Personal foul. Number 97.
Oh, that's a crusher.
Defense for a hit on a defenseless player. Half the distance to the goal. Automatic. First down.
Kevin Strong.
Did he hit?
Just ended the game.
Did he hit the center? Typically, defenseless player on a kick situation would be the person snapping the football. Right in the middle is where this will take place. And there goes the snapper as he's rolled back, Cal Adamitis. And that's where the penalty is called. Watch the middle, the snapper. And see where he gets hit right there and rolled back? That's where the penalty is called. He is protected as a defenseless player. Not supposed to have that kind of contact.
And that's it. You take three knees. Tennessee, if the field goal is good, you've got a shot.
I couldn't believe that. I couldn't believe that. You talk about all the ways to lose a game. Hitting the snapper in the head, which, by the way, everybody knows is a penalty. Everybody knows you cannot hit the snapper. I know that. I've never played football in my life, and I know you can't hit the snapper in the head. And that takes me to what I thought, you know, where I think some of the blame needs to go. And that's the coaching. In fact, I think a big portion of the blame needs to go to the coaching. And if today's show is like going to the principal's office, then it's like, let's say that 3 or 4 children got in trouble. I'm the principal, and I'm calling them in one by one. Because all of them, all 3 coordinators and the head coach, are absolutely all individually responsible in different ways. Now, I'm going to start with special teams coordinator Craig Aukerman. If I was Mayor Cooper, in fact, this might be the best way to finally rid ourselves of Craig Aukerman's horrendous special teams coaching, which just comes up at least 3 or 4 times a year and at least cost them 2 games every single season. And they've never been good at special teams as long as he's been the coach. I don't care what JohnnyJoeFootball.com says. The Titans, over the last 6 years that he's been here, they haven't been able to return punts. They haven't been able to return kickoffs. They haven't been able to kick the ball. They've been pretty good at punting the ball, but they haven't been able to do just the basic stuff. And the special teams almost never wins them a game. But oftentimes, like the Thursday night game against Indianapolis a couple of years ago, the special teams absolutely loses the game. And so instead of begging the Titans to fire Craig Aukerman, because Mike Vrabel will never do it for whatever reason, I don't know. But instead of begging the Titans, we need to go to the mayor's office and we need to tell Mayor Cooper, hey, tell the Titans we're not giving them $1.2 billion for a new stadium unless they get rid of Craig Aukerman, because I'm tired of watching this guy and his horrendous special teams. And yesterday was certainly, and it wasn't just that one play, that personal foul penalty, which again was freaking stupid to hit the snapper in the head. And they had 2 guys hit the snapper in the head. But not only was that dumb, they missed a 35-yard field goal. I mean, when can they figure out how to kick? Every other team in the league figures out how to kick. Half the teams that have figured out how to kick in this league are doing it with guys that couldn't kick for the Titans. I flip on the TV. Oh, there's Greg Joseph. Change the channel. There's Cairo Santos. Change the channel. There's Cody Parkey. Change the channel. There's Ryan Succop. So all these guys can't kick for the Titans, but somehow, some way, they're kicking for everybody else, which drives me insane. And they can't figure it out no matter what. They've lost 2 home games this year. They lost to the Giants at home on a 47-yard kick, and they lost yesterday by missing a 35-yard kick, hitting the snapper in the head. I mean, CJ Board, what the hell was that guy thinking yesterday? Taking the ball 2 yards out of the end zone, getting to the 18-yard line. That's terrible. What was he thinking fielding a punt at the 6-yard line yesterday? Just basic stuff. So Aukerman, The special teams, they never get any better, and the Titans never do anything about it. But again, this one, special teams, abysmal. I had a coach text me yesterday and said the difference in this game is going to be their kicker versus your kicker. And I think we've all seen Evan McPherson hit enough kicks at Nissan Stadium to know what it's like to have a good kicker as opposed to what it's like to have that kicker.
Quarterback and kicker, those two positions in particular, eh?
Yeah, but you can't do anything about quarterback. You know, you can't get a Joe Burrow. Secondly, now this is going to be quick. Bowen, how many times is Joe Burrow going to break the pocket before you change something up? Because I get it, he's not Lamar Jackson. And I watched Philadelphia last night have a spy on Jalen Hurts, and that really didn't even help them at all. Now, I don't think they had the right guy spy him. They put a linebacker who's not as fast as Jalen Hurts in there to spy Jalen Hurts. But Joe Burrow, on the first drive, breaks the pocket, runs for a first down once. Then Joe Burrow again breaks the pocket and runs for a first down. Then Joe Burrow breaks the pocket again and runs for a first down. Then Joe Burrow breaks the pocket again and throws the ball complete for a first down. How many times until you're going to say, okay, you know, we may sacrifice something on the, you know, coverage end of this, but we're not going to let Joe Burrow just run right up the middle and pick up a first down? How many times does Joe Burrow have to do that before you make an adjustment? So that's really my only problem with the defensive coaching yesterday. I was disappointed in the defensive line's play. I thought they got manhandled. That's not on the coach. And, you know, some of the mishaps in coverage where they make the ball on the sideline against Trey Avery or they throw the ball up to T. Higgins. That's a great quarterback making great throws and a great receiver coming down with it. And the ball on the sideline was a great catch by that receiver I've never heard of before. Now, Downing. I thought Downing was terrible too. I think there are two separate things that bothered me about Todd Downing. The first thing that bothered me about Todd Downing was his lack of adjustments throughout the course of the game. And I really mean once you realize that the backup offensive line couldn't block their defensive line. It's not his fault that the backup offensive line couldn't block the Bengals defensive line, which has two good pass rushers in Hendrickson and Hubbard, and a just behemoth of a whale in DJ Reader at nose tackle. That's not Todd Downing's fault. But what is Todd Downing's fault is the fact that Todd Downing just kept trying to run right up in there with a 270-pound center versus a 350-pound nose tackle. That's not very smart. At some point, you got to change the running game. I know they changed the scheme up on it, but again, when you can't, that, it doesn't matter if you run a zone scheme, a gap scheme, it doesn't matter. If their guy is 350 pounds and can push back your 270, 280 pounder, there's nothing you can do. I played high school basketball at USN. When I was at USN, we played in the same league as Brentwood Academy. They had a player by the name of Brandon Wright. Many of you all know Brandon Wright. Went to UNC, went to the NBA. Now, our coach, and trust me, we didn't have the players Brentwood Academy had, and we never won. But our coach wasn't drawing up plays for us to go run into the lane and try to put it up there so Brandon Wright could just block the shot every time. So how many times is Todd Downing, in an obvious run situation, going to try to have his 280-pound center block a 350-pound nose tackle? So I thought that was ridiculous. But where I really thought Todd Downing struggled yesterday is I thought Todd Downing, A, has got to wean himself off this addiction to Jeff Swain. I mean, it's ridiculous. They get inside the 16-yard line, and they throw a screen to Jeff Swain. A screen. Then, later in the game, after they hit the deep ball to Burks, and they get the roughing the passer, I'm sitting there saying, okay, this has to be a touchdown. I don't care how you get it, this has to be a touchdown. The Titans on second down. Tannehill's having a great game. Burks is having a great game. The passing game proved last week they can be effective. And on second down, and I didn't realize this until I saw everybody run off the sideline. I saw five guys run into the game, which means they're completely changing out the eligible receivers. They had Hooper, who I'm okay with, Hooper, Henry, Swaim, Kevin Rader, and Cody Hollister. Bob Shoup texted me yesterday, and he said, I knew when 8 was the only receiver in the game, they were going to run it. Well, so did Cincinnati. And guess what? On that play, by the time Tannehill took the ball, four hats on the left side, four Bengals were running right at the line. You have a backup offensive line. You're not going to block that. And not only are you not going to block that, you know you're not going to block that because you haven't blocked it all day. So I thought that was terrible. I'm not going to be one to sit there and say, Henry didn't get enough carries. Henry got too many carries. Henry and then this one. That. I'm going to tell you, when you are throwing a screen to Jeff Swaim in the red zone, you are making a poor choice. That is a stupid play call. Stupid. Now, I'm not saying Todd Downing is stupid. I'm not saying Mike Vrabel is stupid. But if you think that that is a good idea, you are stupid. Because everybody on the planet knows that a screen pass to Jeff Swaim is not a good idea. And, of course, he dropped it. Just like he dropped it 2 weeks ago. Did they throw him the ball at all in Green Bay that he dropped? I can't remember. But Swaim has gone on to show, and I feel bad for Swaim. I really do. Because he should be able to make his $3.5 million, which is a whole different story. He should be able to make his $3.5 million in peace by standing on the sidelines and letting the other tight ends who are better play. But instead, the Titans have to put him out there, throw a screen pass to him in the red zone, and instead it's his fault when really it's not his fault. It's the dingbat offensive coordinator who doesn't know how to use Lyft on his phone who's putting him out there, which drove me insane. And then there's Vrabel. Couple things with Vrabel. Number one, I thought Mike Vrabel, in my opinion, I thought Mike Vrabel didn't show enough respect to Joe Burrow this week. I think that there's the way that the team treated Joe Burrow, I could feel it. It was different than the way they treat Aaron Rodgers. It was different than the way they treated Patrick Mahomes. It was just different. And I don't think, because Vrabel spent all week saying, oh, this isn't a revenge game. It's a good team, will ya? Instead of saying, hey, they came in here and they kicked your ass last year and they kicked your ass last year. He spent time minimizing the Bengals. I think minimizing Burrow didn't put enough respect on him. Secondly, I thought the decision, I thought the clock management at the end of the first half was atrocious. And some of that must be on Tannehill too. But I thought that, I mean, if Austin Hooper catches the ball on the sidelines after they burned their third timeout, because I didn't think they should have taken the second timeout when they took it, especially knowing that Joe Burrow was on the other sideline. If Hooper catches that ball on the sidelines, they have to run up to the line of scrimmage and clock it, and they might have 2 seconds left. Dumb. Then the idea of the Titans down by 7, connecting on third down and long to make it 4th and 5, and running the kicker who had already missed from 35, running him out there to take another crack at it in order to make it a 4-point game with 6 minutes to go with Joe Burrow as the other team's quarterback, I thought that was a bad decision. The challenge, I wouldn't have challenged it. In fact, I wish the Titans had a player savvy enough, like Tyrann Tartt did last week, to go down, and then that would have allowed the Titans to look at it. But the challenge, I thought Vrabel got goaded into by Cincinnati running to the line. And Vrabel said that he thought he didn't catch it. Well, Vrabel was standing on the total opposite sideline. There's no way he would have been able to see that, and he knows that. And so I'm not going to kill him for the challenge, but I didn't think that it was operationally. You got to win your challenges as a coach when you need your timeouts in the fourth quarter. So I thought the coaching yesterday was pretty atrocious. And, again, I don't know when special teams coaching. I don't know when that plans on getting better. I really don't know when that plans on getting better. 615-737-1025. I see your phones lined up. We'll get to them next. And don't take the blame off the players by saying that there's a lot of blame that goes on the coaches, because the coaches didn't miss the tackles. The coaches, you know, didn't drop the screen pass intended for Jeff Swaim. The coaches, it goes on and on. 615-737-1025. Where are your reactions? Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
Got to be cleaner in the red zone. Obviously, it's something we pride ourselves on and put a lot of focus and importance on, you know, throughout the season. And today we didn't execute well enough.
Anything in particular in the red zone? Look, maybe a couple drops hurt the cause.
Yeah, just overall, we just didn't make enough plays down there. You know, we got down there a few times and, had some opportunities, but, you know, just didn't make enough plays.
Just didn't make enough plays, Ryan Tannehill says. And I would agree with him, but sometimes we have to think about who it is that's out there that's making the plays, right? Because the Titans got to the Cincinnati 15, and on first and 10 at the Cincinnati 16, they called a screen pass for Jeff Swain. Again, don't get me started on that. That ended up in a field goal, by the way. Then the second time they got down inside the Cincinnati red zone, and they, again, finished 0 for 3 as far as their Cincinnati trips into the red zone were concerned, the Titans get deep down inside on the throw to Treylon Burks, and then all of a sudden, Jeff Swain's got to come into the game. They get 5 yards with Derrick Henry. They ran to the left. Swain was on the right. And then Derrick Henry, 1 yard from the Cincinnati 6 on second down and 5. Where were all the guys that, you know, catch touchdowns in the red zone? Hooper, Hilliard, Chigakonkwo. Where were those guys? No. And so while normally I would say, hey, they didn't execute inside the red zone, and that's what cost them, I think the reality is they didn't play the right players. They didn't drop the right plays for the right players. And if you win, nobody says anything about it. If you lose, we wonder why you're throwing screens to Jeff Swain. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I promised them, we're to them. Adam in Portland is going to kick us off today on a Titans Monday. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, man, I got a couple things. Number one, Big Jeff does not look comfortable to me. I don't know if you've noticed it. He looks hurt still. I know he's in there. I appreciate him being in there. He looks slower. He was dominated on that line the whole day. Denico Autry not being in there really hurts us, and I know Vrabel's been pretty good about utilizing depth players to come in and play that defensive line, but they missed him bad yesterday. Number three and my last thing, Todd Downing, I don't know if the DUI played into it, but his play calling this week looked way lazier and less creative. I saw at least 10 bubble screens, and you've talked about them. Like, two of them worked. The rest of them don't work. So it was,
I mean, they did run one for a touchdown, though.
Yeah, that's what I said. One of them works. And
when you say that his play calling was lazy, what do you mean?
It means, like, I don't see a lot of motion in the backfield. I don't see any type of creativity to try to get people off their spots. All I see is, all right, we're going to line up. We're going to fake a screen this way and throw a screen the other way. Just, I don't know. It's typical. We've been seeing it the last 2 or 3 years. It's the same crap.
So, I mean, I think Todd Downing stunk it up yesterday, too. Thank you for your call, Adam. I thought Todd Downing stunk it up, but I think that he's, you know, like, it's very specific for me where I felt like Todd Downing made his mistakes. And I don't think it's so much the, you know, it was lazy. Sometimes I think they're trying to do too much. They ran a play where they threw a screen to Hilliard and they motioned Henry over to the right and then threw the ball to Hilliard. And Treylon Burks was standing on the left side, and I think he was anticipating a bubble screen as well. And so neither of those would have worked, and Dontrell Hilliard got blown up in the backfield. And I'm watching, I'm like, what the hell was that? It looked like an Arena Football League play. It was like, we got to get so many guys moving at one time, and so the defense won't figure out, and we got to trick them, we got to. And what I wish the Titans would do, and I think they're getting there with Burks, but what I wish the Titans would do is that they would look at their offense like a basketball team. I'm not mad at the performance Derrick Henry had yesterday, though I am worried about Derrick Henry physically. And I'm worried about Derrick Henry on the long touchdown run, not the fumble, but the fact that he got caught from behind. Old Derrick doesn't get caught from behind. And now he's been caught from behind a couple times in a row. And so I am worried about that. But going back to, you know, Derek's performance, if the Titans were a basketball team, I would say, okay, Michael Jordan, I need you getting 20 shots. Scottie Pippen, I need you getting 15 shots. Horace Grant, I need you getting 8 shots. Bill Cartwright, I need you getting 3 shots and rebounding. And that's what I think the Titans need to do with their offense, is they need to look at their group and say, okay, Henry, you need the ball. Hilliard, in the red zone, low red zone, passing situations, you need the ball. Burks, you need the ball. Hooper, third down, you need the ball. Woods, you need the ball against zone coverage. And instead, I think it's like, let's run this special play in here to come in and trick them. And let's throw the screen pass to Jeff Swain. They'll never expect it. And it's like, of course they'll never expect it because he sucks. And so those are the things that bother me. You know, again, that double weird whatever kind of arena football league play they ran to Hilliard yesterday. Like, just get him the ball. Just get Hilliard the ball. He's a good player. When you just got him the ball against Green Bay, it was a touchdown. LD is up next on special teams. Thank you for calling. What you got, LD?
Hey, Jared. I actually I wanted to call in and get on you about your special teams take with them losing based on missing the kick and the penalty there at the end of the game, but that's not even relevant anymore. Quick before I forget, they mentioned during the game that Tannehill had a high ankle, so you can talk about that later. But I used to get on to Tannehill pretty hard about not checking out, right? You see the box, 8-9 guys in the box, you don't check out. But my thing is, with all these personnel changes, who is he going to check out to? I mean, Hollister or Swain? That's pathetic. I mean, I'm so over the personnel changes. I can't stand it anymore.
It truly drives me insane. Thank you for your call. And I'm going to circle back on that special teams thing because I think absolutely special teams mattered yesterday. I mean, I absolutely. Again, it may not matter against the Colts that, Stonehouse kicks the ball from the 40-yard line and it goes into the end zone for a touchback. And then they get a holding penalty, which they called, on the Bengals, and so it moves it half the distance to the goal. You put that ball at the 6, the holding penalty moves it back to the 3. That's a big difference, and you all know that. And special teams as a whole yesterday was atrocious. I mean, you miss a 35-yard field goal right before that. You can't miss a 35. This is the NFL. But back on the personnel groupings, they play the bad players too much. I mean, it's as simple as that. They got too many bad players. I mean, let's forget for a second that the entire offensive line is a backup offensive line, which is not their fault. There's nothing they can do about that now. But outside of Nate Davis, literally every single one of those other players is essentially a backup. And so that's really not their fault. But then when it comes to how many snaps they're getting for guys that aren't very good, Jeff Swaim played one less snap yesterday than Derrick Henry did. Jeff Swaim played 31 snaps. Chigga Conquo played 19. In no world should they be playing those kind of snaps. And I know they hit a ball to Hollister against the Colts, but they're not going to hit those balls in games that matter against the good teams. And that's what I felt like yesterday was a game against the good team. And it's, again, I'm not letting the players off the hook by blaming the coaches for things about the personnel groupings. He did bring up the Tannehill checking out. I do think that it's worth noting there was one play in particular where the TV mic caught. You could catch Tannehill calling out the nickel, Mike Hilton, calling out that he was run blitzing, and nobody picked him up. So Tannehill literally is under center, and I think he's like, watch a nickel, watch a nickel, watch a nickel, and he points at him. And Dennis Daly, who I think was in charge of it at that point, I mean, I'm guessing because he was the only guy who would have been there, Dennis Daly didn't block towards him, and Derrick Henry just got tackled in the backfield. So, I mean, Tannehill's trying. 615-737-1025. We'll get back to your phones. 615-737-1025. And then I think one thing that does bother me about yesterday's game and should probably bother everybody, we'll get to that coming up here on the program. When the Preds have a game tomorrow night, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game tomorrow night, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate in Pick to Click tomorrow at 8:45 a.m. with Robbie and Rex Road.
You lost the physical battle today, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, I think the numbers would say so. You know, the numbers would say so. Obviously, the way we rushed the ball, the way that we stopped the run, I don't think we tackled well. You know, we weren't able to get into any rhythm in the running game. So, you know, I felt like there were times where things were working and clicking, and then, you know, weren't able to continue to sustain that. And I thought we'll see how we covered kicks on tape.
There you go. Vrabel asked if they lost the physical battle, and he didn't just want to come out and say it. He didn't just want to say, yeah, we lost the physical battle. But that's absolutely what happened. I was there. You all saw it on TV if you weren't there. The Bengals walked into Nissan Stadium and pushed the Titans around. And let me say this. If you're a team and your bread and butter is, hey, we may not be the best team. We may not have the most talented players. We may not have Tom Brady at quarterback, but we are tough and mean and gritty, and we'll find a way. You can't get out-toughed at home against a team when you're coming off of extra rest. And that's what happened yesterday. And it wasn't just the running game. I want people to understand things. It wasn't the fact that, oh, they held up Derrick Henry in the backfield for most of the day, so they were more physical than the Titans. But it was too many yards on first down running the ball with a backup running back in Samaje Perine. It was too much of a push from the Cincinnati offensive line. It was too many 50-50 balls that the Titans didn't win physically. Ball goes up in the air. T. Higgins goes up against McCreary in the end zone and out jumps him and pushes him at the end. And you saw the referee went to grab the flag and didn't throw it. He thought about it. I thought it was a good no call. I thought it was a physical play in the end zone, and T. Higgins went up and made it. And part of that is T. Higgins is a good player. But if you're a physical team, if you are the, hey, nobody's tougher than us, then Treylon Burks comes down with that 50-50 ball that Ryan Tannehill stands in on the blitz and just throws the ball over on a check and doesn't let some bum like Eli freaking Apple come down and knock the ball away. Robert Woods, a contested catch on the sidelines on a second down, he drops the ball. And it was contested, and the Bengals DB made a good play, but Robert Woods has to catch that ball. Got to be physical. That's physical. And I thought the Titans were beat physically, not just on their own offensive line of scrimmage. When people say, hey, you know, the Bengals out-toughed them, I think people are going to look to the running stats. And they're going to say, look at what they did to Derrick Henry. They shut Derrick Henry down. They out-toughed the Titans to 2.2 yards per carry with Derrick Henry. And you're not wrong. But what about all the runs that Perine got in the second half on first down, especially when the Titans knew they needed the ball back in the fourth quarter, and all of a sudden it's 5 yards on first down. Here you go. This was the final drive after the Shudak field goal in which Cincinnati didn't give the ball back. Burrow complete 8 yards. Perine, 2 yards. That's not bad. Burrow complete over the middle, 8 yards. Williams, the running back, 16 yards and a missed tackle by David Long. If you're the physical team, you get back there and you stop the guy at the line of scrimmage. Early in the game, the Titans, because of a holding penalty, had great defensive field position against Cincinnati. And all of a sudden, Perine takes the ball and Amani Hooker misses a wide open tackle. And now, all of a sudden, Cincinnati's at midfield. And it's like, if you're a physical team, your $11 million cornerback doesn't whiff on a huge tackle. And that happened too often. It happened too often that they didn't bow up and either make the play in the secondary. They didn't make the play physically. And they were going to let them play. You know, some of the penalties yesterday I thought were kind of ridiculous. Some of them I thought were pretty hands-on. But they were going to let them play. And if your calling card is nobody's tougher than us, you don't get out-toughed at home. And they got out-toughed at home. You don't get out-toughed coming off a short off of extended rest, which is what the Titans had. You don't get out-toughed. And, again, nobody wants to say it. Nobody wants to say, you know, hey, we got out-toughed, because toughness is something that you control. But I think it's pretty obvious. Texter to the text line, Michael says, how much did not having Danico Autry and Ben Jones affect the game? Stop. Before I get into even more of that text, let me just say this. They didn't have Ja'Marr Chase. I like Ben Jones. Clearly, they love Ben Jones. And you all know how much I love Danico. Now, I think Danico Autry, when they signed Danico Autry, because Danico Autry had killed the Titans for all those years with Indianapolis, when they signed Danico Autry, I was like, oh, yes, yes. But if we're going to sit here and say, you know, they didn't have Ben Jones and Danico Autry, and the other team didn't have Ja'Marr Chase. That's like I was doing Sirius this weekend after the Michigan-Ohio State game. Somebody called in and said, well, Ohio State didn't have Jackson Smith and Jigba. I was like, they haven't had him all year. And Michigan didn't have Blake Corum, who might have won the Heisman Trophy if he had been healthy for this game. So it's like, you know, we really going to sit here and cry about Danico Autry and Ben Jones? If you can't overcome Danico Autry and Ben Jones, how are you going to win a Super Bowl? Because you will play teams like that, and you will have guys that are hurt. And those teams will also have guys that are hurt. And so when you play in the playoffs this year, and you host, and right now if the playoffs ended today, it would be the Bengals. When you host the Bengals, you know, they may not have a tight end, or they may not have a right tackle who got hurt yesterday in the game, or they may not have a defensive tackle like last year when Larry Ogunjobi broke his foot in the Raiders playoff game before they played the Titans. But you're also not going to have everybody either. You're not going to have a left tackle. You're not going to have your outside pass rusher, Harold Landry. You're going to have to get over it. That's the NFL. And we're going to sit here talking about Ben Jones and Danico Autry. And you're talking about $12 million. They didn't play with Ja'Marr Chase. And Ja'Marr Chase is like a top five receiver in the NFL. And if he were to hit market, would get a $30 million contract. Don't give me that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. The Titans lost a game yesterday that they absolutely cannot afford to let happen again. And I will explain what it is they let happen yesterday that cannot happen for this team going forward. We'll get to that next. Jared Stillman, Mad Dog. Jared Stillman. Stillman and Company, 1025, 106 through the game.